Hello and welcome to Ball is Life on radio.dominican.edu. DJ Radical and DJ Smooth here, where opposites collide.
Yes.
How you doing, son?
I'm doing great, DJ Radical. I'm doing fantastic.
We got a great show for you guys today. As usual, we're going to be breaking into the NFL Week 8, which came with some questionable wins and losses,
yeah,
I think.
Definitely some ups and downs for a couple of teams.
For sure, ups and downs. We're going to break right into it here on Ball is Life on radio.dominican.edu. DJ Smooth, who are you most pleased with besides, we already know,
the Raiders?
The Raiders.
Yeah. I won't get into that, but I'm happy for the Cowboys.
Mm.
The Cowboys are a legit contender to come out of the AFC and win the Super Bowl.
They actually moved up. They're number two right now in the power rankings.
Yeah, I just saw that.
And well deserved?
Yes, well deserved. Most, yeah, for sure.
I actually read something that I forgot who said it, but they said that Ezekiel Elliott is better than Emmitt Smith.
I saw that too. I'm not going to go
far. It was the Eagles, one of the Eagles linebackers.
Yeah, I'm not going to go that far because Emmitt Smith, you know, won Super Bowls, broke records, this and that.
This man's a rookie.
Yeah, he's a rookie, but he is on that path. He has the potential to be Emmitt Smith or better than Emmitt Smith. And also Dak Prescott, he's for real. I was kind of questionable to jump on the wagon, the Dak Prescott wagon. But I'm officially on. I might be driving the wagon because he is nice. He is a future star quarterback in this league.
Would you put him in the top 10 quarterbacks?
Right now? Probably, right now. Yeah. He'd probably be like 10, but he's definitely.
He's edging it in, but he's in there.
Definitely in the 10.
Wow.
Yeah. That's Tony Romo should not start
Dak
when he
Prescott.
Comes back. Yeah, Tony Romo just lost his job after last week's game.
I mean, I think that Tony Romo has so much credibility and they have so much money into him. And Jerry Jones and, I mean, Jason Garrett, they love him over there in the Cowboys stadium. But I think Dak Prescott has earned his position from where he stands. And until he loses again, I think he's secured.
Exactly. I get that they have, like, a lot in Tony Romo, and they love Tony Romo. The coaches love him, the owner, this and that. But when you're 6-1, number two in the power rankings, number one in the NFC right now.
That's saying something.
Yeah, you're going Dak Prescott. And he's beating teams that are good. Like, in the NFC East is not weak. He's beating the Giants. He's beating the Redskins. He's beating the Eagles.
Yeah,
he's beating the Packers in Lambeau Field. Like, I know Packers are 4-3, but that's still Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
He did, yeah.
And he beat them, without a doubt. So, I like what the Cowboys are doing. They are my favorites right now to come out of the NFC and be in the Super Bowl.
Who is your Super Bowl team right now? Who are the two teams? So, you got Cowboys, who's coming out of the
AFC?
Okay,
I would probably have to say Cowboys-Patriots, if I had to choose right now.
So, AFC final, the finalists, you're going to put Patriots, Raiders?
It'd probably be Patriots, Raiders, or like Patriots.
It depends how it's set.
Patriots, Broncos.
Yeah. AFC West, though.
Yeah, I saw Bleacher Report. They did like their mid-season bracketology, and they had like, if the playoffs started now, like who would be in it, and they like kind of picked, and they had the Raiders beating the Steelers in the wild card round, and then they had the Chiefs beating Houston in the wild card round, and it was Chiefs, Patriots, and then they had the Patriots over the Chiefs. And then they had Broncos over the Raiders.
Hmm. Yeah, that's crazy. Three of the four AFC West teams going. I mean, that's the most you could have. That's the best you could do as a division.
I saw a tweet. It was the Raiders beat. I follow them on Twitter. And they were like, right now we have a big game in Raiders-Denver, both 6-2, playing for first place. You also got Kansas City, who's 5-2. And then you also got San Diego, who's 3-5, but can play with anyone right
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
So they're like, this is going to be fun.
And I think that I'm really happy that the NFL didn't drop the Chargers because of that loss. Because they did. I mean, they battled. They played. They can compete with anybody.
Yeah, they could actually should have won that game. I was watching it. And they had a lot of opportunities to win that game.
It was a rough Sunday for me.
Yeah.
But Yeah, I'm glad they're still number 14, which is the lowest spot in the AFC West right now.
I know the Raiders are in the top 10, Chiefs in the top 10, Broncos are in the top 10 power rankings.
Team that surprised me was the Panthers. Panthers over the Cardinals. Yeah. And I think that that's something that really needs to happen. I don't agree with all the speculation going on with Cam Newton and all the stuff that he's saying. I saw something about Ben Roethlisberger and his offensive lineman saying that Ben gets hit more than anybody, and you don't see he complaining at all. And then Cam, I mean, I know it's been a continuous thing, but I think Cam kind of needs to suck it up a little bit. Not really? To be too harsh, but, I mean, it's football. It's a physical sport. He knew this going into high school. You're 6'5", anyways. Like, come on.
Yeah, but, I mean, just because he's 6'5", I feel like he does need to get the respect of the QBs. Because you see, okay, Ben Roethlisberger's different. Because Ben Roethlisberger doesn't get as much calls as, like, the Brady's or the Aaron Rodgers-type quarterbacks. But Ben Roethlisberger gets some calls that Cam kind of doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I get, like, Cam should just, you know what, like, I would let the coaches deal with that. I would, you know, okay, he's made his point. He's talked to Roger Goodell, like, hey, you know, like, this is, I know he had a meeting with them regarding that he doesn't feel safe playing the game of football. He doesn't feel safe in the pocket, this, and that. He's not getting the calls. But I feel like, okay, you did your part. You voiced it, you've talked to the referees, and now you've talked to the commissioner of the league. After this, you know, you just got to keep your mouth shut and just continue to play the game. Unless there's, like, defenders coming for your head and, like, hitting you without your helmet or ripping your helmet
off. And
they've
been going low on him, which is a thing. But I think that Cam Newton is also a running quarterback.
True.
Which gives him, which I think referees also look at him like, oh, you probably could have evaded and ran that. But, I mean, he's a quarterback in the end. So I do understand your point, but I just think that after everything that's gone down, if it still continues, I think either, like, you just have to just keep your mouth shut and just play football.
Yeah. Do you think that the way – I know he had problems with this last year, but not as bad. But you think the way this season has gone for the Panthers, they're now, what, 2-5,
mm-hmm.
last in the NFC South, which is not a good division. They have a long shot of making the playoffs after representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. Do you think the way their season's gone is like him being frustrated, so he's kind of taking it out, not on his team, but taking it out in this, like,
this
expressing
manner,
it
yeah
through a, like, I don't feel safe in when I play quarterback.
Yeah, I think this is the channel that he's choosing to put all of his energy and anger out on. Because he's a great leader on the team, and he's shown that all the players do believe in him, and they follow suit. And he's a tremendous athlete and competitor, but I think the way that he's gone about channeling and letting his emotions go in this manner, I think that it's a little – that's not what somebody of his caliber should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I see what you're saying, but I don't agree with what he's done still. But my mom loves Cam Newton. And I guess I got to love Cam Newton. So. But in the end of the day, I like what they're doing over there in Carolina. And I think that they had a very well-deserved win against the Cardinals, who's a tremendous team. And they just got Carson Palmer back. David Johnson is he's the top running back right now in fantasy. And they have a great core. Larry Fitzgerald, Michael Floyd. They're nice.
Yeah, they
and
are.
I think that the Panthers coming in and winning is big.
Uh-huh. Talking about the Cardinals, actually, I was going to talk about that's one of the teams that kind of disappointed me over last week and also disappointed me in the season. I mean, they're 3-4 and 3-4-1. They have 3 wins, 4 losses, and a tie.
Yeah.
There were a team that people were picking to contend to play in the Super Bowl, and honestly, they've disappointed. Carson Palmer's disappointed. The defense is not really playing the way they should be playing. They've lost some games to some opponents that should have beat, like the Buffalo Bills, the Los Angeles Rams, the Carolina Panthers.
I do like the Bills, though. I think that they – I think they're going to go under the radar. But the Cardinals are a top-caliber team, but they need to figure out what's missing. I think it's on the defensive end, too.
Yeah, I just feel like...
Because they're scoring points.
Yeah, I mean, they are, but I feel like... I don't know. They're just kinda,
something off.
Yeah, they're underperforming for me.
Yeah.
More on Carson Palmer. Nothing. I don't think
it's not David Johnson.
David Johnson. I know it's more on the passing attack. It feels just like bland.
You want more of a vibrant Clash of the Titans.
More just air it out. And yeah. I feel like it just feels bland. Feels like it needs some spice. It needs something.
Some flavor.
Yeah. And I don't know. I feel like that at this point I don't see them making the playoffs. I feel like they missed the playoffs this year.
Who comes out of the AFC West, or the NFC West then?
The Seahawks.
The Seahawks.
Yeah, I think
that division's not the most competitive.
Yeah, I think one team gets out of the NFC West, and then you have two teams kind of the NFC North, and the Packers and Vikings. You get the Cowboys. I want to say Cowboys and Giants out of the NFC East. Giants make it as a wild card, mm-hmm. and then you get whoever wins the NFC South, probably the Atlanta Falcons. I don't see two teams coming out of the NFC West.
So I could see the NFC West, or the NFC as it stands right now, Cowboys 6-1. These are the top. The Cowboys are 6-1, Vikings 5-2, Falcons 5-3, Seahawks 4-2, and then the Cardinals and the Rams are right behind them. Yeah, I mean, the NFC West is not a nice division. I could for sure see two teams coming out of the North. And two teams coming out of the East, like you said. I think that's a good assumption.
I don't see two teams, because the Giants, they're playing okay. They're playing decent. They can stick in it. Maybe the Redskins could maybe play for a spot. Possibly three teams at the NFC North if the Detroit starts playing better. You can possibly see that. It's just, I don't know. The Cardinals, they just seem like they're uninspired right now. I feel like all this Super Bowl talk before this season
hyped them up,
and they fell into the hype, and now they're struggling. They got caught up in the hype, they got overconfident, and now teams are coming out and outperforming them on a daily basis. Like, they haven't had that convincing win that I'm just like, yeah, this is the reason why they're a Super Bowl contending team. Mm-hmm. I just haven't seen it.
So, can we talk about that Monday night game?
Let's talk about it. Let's just get it.
Do you want to start about the Bears offense or the Vikings offense?
First off, the Bears are garbage. let's say this now. The Bears offense is garbage. I wish Alshon Jeffrey got traded
today. The deadline's not over. It's midnight tonight, yeah?
No, I think the deadline was today. It was like noon or like 1 p.m.
Yeah, it was something.
It's over. Okay. No major moves happened, but I wish Alshon Jeffrey got traded to like a Detroit Lions or like Tampa Bay, or it's just some power offense.
But I thought you didn't like Winston though.
I don't like Winston.
So do you want to?
I don't.
We'll talk about that later. So do you like Stephon Diggs in the Vikings offense?
I do.
I do too.
I like him because you can use him a lot. You can use him as on the outside as a receiver. You can put him in the slot.
Yeah.
You can even low key throw him in the backfield and use him as a running back, like a screens or something.
And end arounds as well. He he's a very versatile player.
He even return kicks.
And I think Sam Bradford is the problem with the Vikings offense if they don't, because they're starting to fall off.
I think
it's the fatigue.
I don't think it's Sam Bradford. I think Sam Bradford has always been that player. Mm-hmm. It's just they don't have a running game. They don't have Peterson.
McKinnon's out as well. Asiata is their starting.
Yeah, and it hasn't been the same ever since McKinnon left. So they need to get McKinnon back. They need to hopefully maybe get Adrian Peterson back before the playoffs, because Sam Bradford has always been this. This is just who Sam Bradford is. He doesn't throw it deep that much. He's like an Alex Smith type. You know, he manages the game. He throws his short routes, high completion percentage. But he's not a guy like an Aaron Rodgers or Derek Carr or Tom Brady that can just drop back 60 times and throw down the field without having any problem. He's more of just the game manager. And he needs a running game to succeed. And you can tell that he doesn't have the running game, so they're not scoring points. So the defense is out there constantly, and they're getting tired, and teams are beating them. That's what's I feel like that's what's happening.
Their defense has been playing exceptional still, though, even throughout this.
Exactly, yeah.
And I think that it. I think you really hit the nail right in the head with that the running back situation that they have. But bouncing over another team that I thought underperformed on Sunday was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yes.
I think that they did, and I think that a certain team should be 5-3.
No, right the Raiders should be 5-3. Tampa Bay had so many opportunities to win this game.
And I think it came down to missed tackles. Not being able to tackle Crabtree and especially Seth Roberts in overtime.
Yeah, to end the game.
Derek Carr, though, he's legitimately in the MVP talk.
Yeah.
And I'm not buying into it.
They're saying he might be a front runner. But back to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll get into the MVP conversation because I believe
You have your 2 cents.
Derek Carr should be an MVP candidate because he's proved it. But I think mixed tackles on the defensive end, also penalties. They didn't have as much penalties as the Raiders, who broke the record with 23.
Setting records.
But there was it was fourth and goal at the end of the game, and Derek Carr missed Crabtree in the end zone, and that was going to be the game. But there was a holding penalty on the defense because they held a receiver who wasn't even in the vicinity of the ball.
Yeah, which I think by rule, if it doesn't affect the play, then oh no, never mind.
That's just pass interference. Yeah, but he held like the guy
I remember the play.
Yeah, but honestly, I think his offense. I saw a stat, and when I was watching the game, the last three Tampa Bay offensive possessions were all 3-and-out. The last one.
Even in overtime.
The last one in the fourth quarter and the two in overtime. We're all 3-and-out.
And it was, I think that Jameis Winston is a tremendous quarterback, but I think that he needs to settle down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's that, but they say that he always overthrows his receivers, which he does. But I mean, in the majority of cases, you would rather have him overthrow than underthrow because underthrowing cannot get to him, and it at least gives him a chance to make a catch if you overthrow it. And also, rather overthrow and have it go over the heads of all the other players than underthrowing and give another defender a chance.
Yeah, I have a theory on why he probably overthrows or throws it high to his receivers because he throws a lot to Mike Evans, who's 6'5".
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And he throws a lot. He's always looking to throw to Mike Evans. And even the commentators of the game were like, he's got to look at other receivers so, like, the defenders are not – because if he keeps looking at Mike Evans, the defenders are going to, like, recognize that, and then they're going to just read it and jump the ball, jump the pass, and it's interceptions all day. But so the commentators are like, he's got to look at other receivers so they can allow Mike Evans to, you know, break free and not get, like – triple coverage on him and like have like two like a safety help and then like have two corners on him. So that's why I thought it would be a good move for Tampa Bay to get another receiver on the under because they don't have Vincent Jackson's out for the year. So they would have got an Alshon Jeffrey or Allen Robinson or a Torrey Smith,
somebody big with someone, a body
who's another threat on the other side of the field that would have helped him. Because I think that's what Jameis Winston needs. He doesn't really have another threat. Even when Vincent Jackson was there, he was still throwing to Mike Evans a lot. He needs someone else to throw to, so that's why I think he's having problems. He's having problems. And also, like, again, Doug Martin's out. I mean, Jaquizz Rodgers has filled in nicely.
Yeah.
But still, like, I'd rather have Doug Martin out there than Jaquizz Rodgers.
And they're saying that they confirmed the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to have a community back this Thursday. So they're going to be giving it to a bunch of different players in the running back, which I think is pretty cool. So then they could also give it off to – they could have different looks on the running game, which may open up more options for throwing and passing. So it'll be interesting to see how all that can be kind of incorporated into the offense for the – Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but That is going to wrap it up for the NFL segment. We're going to be coming right back, and we're going to be talking about the fantasy football segment. Still football, ball is life here, radio.dominican.edu, DJ Smoove and DJ Radical. Stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Every 6 seconds, somebody dies from a tobacco-related disease. That's 10 people per minute. With cigarette smoke containing over 4,000 chemicals, tobacco use remains the single largest preventable cause of death and disease in the United States. Tobacco kills up to 50% of its users. Will you get out alive? This public service announcement has been brought to you by the DJs of Penguin Radio.
All right, that was a very nice little promo done by the Penguin Radio crew here at radio.dominican.edu. This is Ball is Life.
Shout out.
DJ Smoove and DJ...
Radical.
Radical.
Where opposites collide. I like that.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's trademark, so don't use it.
I think we might need to change up our... show name in a bit, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there. All right, so fantasy football.
Fun. This is my favorite part of the show.
How was your week in fantasy football?
I mean,
Smoove.
I messed
Saint Pablo.
I messed up. Yeah, so my Saint Pablo team. It was bad. It wasn't bad. I mean, I put up 130 points, so that's not bad. But I lost by four. I lost by four because
is that the most points you've scored this season in the game?
Yeah, I remember the first game. I think I threw up like 117. But yeah, I think that is my highest. I believe that's my highest. But yeah, you know, I had a big week.
Yeah, it was.
Big week from Derek Carr.
Derek Carr is nice.
He threw for 513 yards, four touchdowns, no interceptions.
Oh, yeah, the MVP talk.
Yeah, he deserves to be in the MVP conversation.
Over Tom Brady.
Over Tom Brady, yes. Over Tom Brady.
Listen,
over
this man had four less games, and he's still better than
over
Derek Carr.
Matt Ryan. Well, obviously.
The gates are open.
You know, he's for sure an MVP conversation because he's won some games for the Raiders that the Raiders should have lost. Baltimore.
I think that
San Diego.
The Raiders are going to lose out.
That's not happening. That is definitely not happening.
So Devontae Freeman performed for you this week.
Yeah. Derek Carr, Devontae Freeman. I mean, yeah, Devontae Freeman, he had 35 yards rushing, four receptions for 23, but he had two TDs. So that's good. That's 12 points just on those TDs. Giovanni Bernard has actually been consistent. He got me 12 and a half points. He had a TD. Jeremy Maclin had a touchdown. He got me 10 points. Alshon Jeffrey had a good game. He just needed to score another touchdown, and I would have won.
Or 40 yards.
Yeah. Thanks, Alshon Jeffrey. Jack Doyle was a little disappointing. He only had two receptions, 36 yards, no TDs. But then also, Chris Hogan was on my bench. Tyreek Hill was on my bench of Kansas City. And also, Seth Roberts was on my bench. So I had three guys that got double-digit points on my bench. And that's the reason why I lost, because I wanted to start Golden Tate and DeSean Jackson.
You have options on your bench.
I do.
And there's been talks from you in these recent weeks that you don't. So from going on forward, DJ Smooth says that he's going to be bold from here on out.
I feel like I have to. I just have to, because I got to do something, because the way I'm doing it now is just not helping. I'm 1-7 right now. I guess I'm out of contention of getting a first round bye in the playoffs.
But it doesn't mean you're out of the playoffs.
It doesn't mean. It doesn't
Staying
mean.
Staying positive.
I got to win out, basically. I got to win out starting this week against you, which I'm very confident in my team. Very confident.
Even though you have some crucial byes on your team?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to call Giovanni Bernard and Alshon Jeffrey crucial byes, then yeah, I guess.
Well, depending on how strong Derek Carr holds on your back, I think.
I don't know. I'm thinking about starting Cam this week.
Really? Well, I could use Kelvin Benjamin touchdowns. So.
Because Derek Carr struggles against Denver's defense. He struggles.
Hmm. Still an MVP candidate?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
He's for sure.
So for my matchup, I won by 22 flat. And if this man who I played against, he had a player on a bye that he didn't start. He didn't set his lineup. So already I caught a break. But if this man starts the Denver defense, then I'm up by 0.2 by the end of the day. And if he starts any running back on his bench, I lose this game. So I have some luck to me that week or this past week.
56% luck, like me?
Yeah, I think it was 56. I think it's the highest you can get. But I did have some great production from my team. Jameis Winston got me 25, two touchdowns, 180 yards. That's crucial points right there. And then DeMarco Murray, who's now the number two running back in fantasy, who I'm very happy I picked up, even though he is old and this is a dynasty league. But, I mean, I'm happy with it. He got me 19.8 points, which is just so crucial for me. And Latavius Murray got 71 yards because now they're doing a community back, apparently, in Oakland.
They've been doing that. Well, because people were complaining that he was getting too much of the carries last year.
What's wrong with that? This man can run the football.
He can, but
we don't need Marcel Reese touching the football.
Marcel Reese is not on the team anymore. So
last year.
Okay, we are talking about last year. But I'm saying now they got two good rookies in DeAndre Washington and Jalen Richard, who I have on my team. So.
are you going to start them this week?
I'm thinking about starting one of them.
I hope you start the wrong one.
You're right. I think, I don't know. Richard's been getting actually more of the touches lately. See, that's the thing. I don't know.
One's goal line and one's yards.
Well, the goal line is Latavius Murray. They throw Latavius Murray at the goal line. These guys just play between, like,
but against Denver, though.
In Denver. Well, I heard, like, they're going to use the two small running backs, like, little screen plays, maybe little draw plays coming out of the backfield.
Hmm.
So I don't know. There's a lot of things that we can do.
Yeah, I have some research to do before this Thursday night game. Mm. And then I also had Bilal Powell, who I picked up last week, and I didn't start him.
He had a good
but
game.
He got, 79 yards and a touchdown, 15 fantasy points.
Yeah, I cut him.
I was
him.
Happy with him.
I cut him this. I drafted him, but I cut him because, like, he wasn't doing anything. So I was like, I need someone else.
And then I also had Travis Benjamin, who I didn't start for the first time this season. And he goes off for 44 yards and a touchdown.
Every time you don't start him, he does something. But every time you do start him, he either fumbles or decides not to
fumbles.
Play.
Fumbles. I lost that week because of him. That's not I'm still traumatized. And then in my ESPN league, I didn't have much luck as I lost badly to my buddy back home. But again, I had Lamar Miller and Jameis Winston. Those are my two guys doing well for me. And my wide receivers, on paper, my teams are very good. But in real life, when they perform, it's not. It's a bad look. And this man, I had to go against Aaron Rodgers, Melvin Gordon, and A.J. Green, who all went off. And he started Darren Sproles, which... I don't even know who would think to start him. I mean, I don't know what this man's using. I don't know if he bought ESPN Insider or what.
He's got Matthew Berry.
Yeah, he has Matthew Berry in a headset somewhere. But, I mean, it was a rough week for me on my ESPN league, but I ended up going 1-1, so not bad.
Yeah, I lost both. I lost both games, Dynasty and ESPN. I lost 79-70. And, again, like you said, my team on paper – like, this is my team. Like, because my quarterback, Roethlisberger's hurt, and then Flacco was on a bye. So I had to start Tyrod Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
He had to use solid 17 points. You know, he had a rushing touchdown, 183 yards. But on my team, so Tyrod Taylor at QB. I had Lamar Miller, Jeremy Hill, Mike Evans, Allen Robinson, Gary Barnage, Tyrell Williams from San Diego.
Detroit, that's a solid team.
Detroit's defense and, Janikowski, and I only got 70 points. I was just like, what is going on here? First off, Williams gets injured, so he has no points. So that's a waste of a flex. I could have started Giovanni Bernard.
So that would have got you the win already.
Yeah, that would have definitely already got me the win. It was just like, I don't get it. And this guy really didn't do anything. He had Carson Palmer, Devontae Freeman, T.J. Yeldon, T.Y. Hilton, Jeremy Maclin, Tyler Eifert. I guess he's back now.
Eifert's back?
Eifert's back.
Eifert's back. He was supposed to come back week six, but they gave him extra 2 weeks.
9 receptions, 102 yards, and a TD.
This man is back.
His defense even had negative 2 points, and I still lost. I just, I don't know. But, yeah, I just, I don't know. I'm so upset right now. I just feel like I've had so much bad luck this year that it's not even like, I don't know. Dynasty, I didn't have the draft I wanted to, but I still have pieces, but I'm just getting bad luck.
You didn't have a good draft.
I didn't. No, I definitely could admit to that, but I feel like there's some games that, I could have won. There's two or three that I feel like I could have won.
We didn't do our a bunch of mock drafts like we did the year before.
True.
Which I think really hurt us.
Yeah, true, because I definitely had a better team last year than I did this year.
Yeah, I concur. But I'm Not gonna lie, but I'm in the easy part of my schedule right now. And then
we'll see about that. We'll see about that.
So my last 2 weeks, I went a guy that was 2-6 and 3-5, and I'm going up against 1-7, St. Pablo. And then I got 5-3, 4-4, 3-5, and then 7. And so I finish off. My last week is against Figgins, who is number one in our league right now at 7-1.
I could have beat Figgins.
Yeah, that would have been something. That would have been crazy. Something crazy.
I'm like the Cleveland Browns. We play hard. It's just the results
are not. You needed Terrell Pryor. Let's see.
Okay.
How close that? This is your schedule. So that game against Figgins lost by 12.
It was close though. It was a close 12.
Yeah.
It was a close 12. Last week was close against Jack, the Don. Lost by 4. I won last week. And then.
Yeah, you scored your lowest points against me when we are the first time we played. And you scored your highest. Yeah, that was your highest this week.
So, you know, I got a tough schedule. I got DJ Radical at 5-3. I got Figgins 7-1. I got Team Alley at 5-3. I get Kung Su Panda 5-3. And then I got Gadescu 4-4.
That's a tough.
So I'm just facing all playoff teams right now, all potential playoff teams.
Yeah, you just went through your easy part of the schedule, and not too beneficial. Your biggest win was by 7.7 points, and your worst loss was by 82. You know what? And that's the great thing about fantasy football is that we can laugh about this, and it's just always a good time.
It is. It's just a lot goes into it.
Like, there's a lot.
I've been trying to find, like I found Tyreek Hill because, like, I saw ESPN talking about him. They're like, Tyreek Hill is going to get a lot more touches. Pick him up, and then I do, and I pick him up. I don't start him, and he gets 16 points. And I was just like, wow. Should have started him. Should have started him, DJ Smith.
Maybe it's anyways, it's going to be a good week this week. I'm looking forward to it. And we're going to be talking about who our lineup changes are going to be. So we'll start with me.
Okay, go ahead.
So I have some pickups that I have pending right now, but I don't, it's
confidential.
It's, I don't know, because if you need a kicker or if you don't need a kicker and you just want to kind of mess me over, I don't want to tell you, but I'm picking up a kicker and a defense. And okay. I'm also having a third one, but I'm 8 out of 10 on the waiver, which I can never seem to get a high on the waiver.
Well, because you're winning and me, I'm losing. So I get.
I thought it goes by if you have it, if say you have you in the first week.
I don't know, actually.
The week before.
I don't know how it works, to be honest.
Yeah, let's see if there's.
I really don't know how it works.
Yeah, so I am 8 out of 10 right now.
Okay.
And there they are. Those are one of my pickups, but we're not going to let him see that.
Yeah.
I'm but also, I think I'm going to. So I don't know if I should leave in Latavius Murray this week. We were talking that he might be getting those goal line touches, but I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either.
And I'm also not sure against Isaiah Crowell against Dallas, because Dallas has been playing outstanding. And
yeah.
I have options on my, like, I've been thinking about starting Tavon Austin, who has been playing very well, and Carolina's defense is not good, as we have just been looking, like, checking up on. So I might be going on that route. I also might start Rashad Jennings. I might give him a chance against Philly, who is decently, they're average.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're literally right in the middle. They're 14th, 12th, and 16th. So it is right in the middle of the league. So I might end up putting him in for Latavius Murray if it comes down to it.
That'd be a solid move, I feel like. But then again, I don't know. The Raiders are obviously a pass-first team, but, like, yeah, it's unpredictable because Latavius Murray can rush for, like, 100 yards, and he'll be on your bench.
Exactly.
Like, what's going
on?
That's
a good 100 yards that I would take.
Yeah, like, so, like, you really don't know.
So, yeah, those are mine right now. Moving over to St. Pablo. He has some buys that are up right now, so yeah. He has to kind of look around through
I'm
that.
I'm going through them right now. I don't know if to start Jack Doyle against Green Bay, or do I start Gary Barnage against Dallas? I feel like Josh McCown's back.
You also have Julius Thomas on your bench. Yeah. You have four tight ends on your bench.
Yeah. Like, do I start Julius Thomas?
This man is physically unable to perform. Why isn't he on the IR? I like Julius Thomas against Kansas City, but they have really good two opposing tight ends. They don't allow a lot.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Also, you got Blake Bortles over
Gary
there.
Gary Barnage is really good. Tight ends thrive against Dallas team.
Okay, well, that's who I was going to start. So I just updated my lineup. Oh, wait, hold up. You must start. Oh, one more round. Okay. Well,
did you fill in your Giovanni Bernard, now Sean Jeffrey, and DeSean Jackson?
Yeah, I'm doing that right now. And I need a running back, but I might just – I think I'm going to go Rashard.
Yeah. Over DeAndre?
Yeah, I feel like he has more impact plays. He gains more like big plays. DeAndre Washington's more like the 4 to 5 yard run. Where
how about Doug Martin?
Doug Martin is injured and he's listed as a non-participant in today's practice.
Yeah,
so
I don't know why he's projected for 13.
If he got 13, he's only played one game for me. And that's it. And he got injured.
So this is the team, huh?
Yeah.
This is the team I'm going up against. Let's look at the projection wise, pregame. It's 129 for me and 104 for
DJ Smooth.
St. Pablo, which he has one player that doesn't have a projection.
Yeah.
Jalen Richards is projected for 0. But I'm sure our Raiders insider over here knows that that's not really going to happen.
Yeah, he should get at least a solid 5 points.
What makes me mad is that they've given Allen Robinson 15 or higher projected points every single week, and this man has scored over 15 one time.
That's how I feel with Jeremy Maclin.
This man scored over 10 twice.
Jeremy Maclin has a projection of 17 points against Jacksonville, but I know he's probably going to get at least 10. Because, one, they don't throw to receivers in Kansas City for some unknown reason.
We don't.
They always throw it to
Travis Kelce.
Or
running back. Or
they run it with Spencer Ware and West.
Charcandrick West.
And I'm just like, I don't get it. Jeremy Maclin is a Pro Bowl receiver. Get him the ball. Come on, Andy Reid. Get him the ball.
I think he peaked in Philadelphia.
Okay, so last year he had 1,000 yard receiving, and
with the Chiefs,
and he had at least like 10 TDs.
Wow.
And so I'm just saying,
this man looks in his photo. He looks like a nice guy. Side note.
Okay, and then again, Mike Wallace, Golden Tate always has big things, but I think I'm gonna bench him today this week against Minnesota.
Yeah, he had one game over five. Oh, two games over 5 points.
Yeah.
Against the Minnesota defense, though, that's not a good look.
Yeah, I think I'm going to start Tyreek Hill against, another Kansas City receiver who had a breakout game against the Colts. I'm starting Cole Beasley. He's been efficient. He's had double digits
the last two weeks. Going upwards.
So,
but could this trend be ending this week?
It better not, because I need a win. So
I don't think it's happening this week.
I need a win.
It's not happening.
But no,
give me Devontae Freeman.
Where did he get these projections from? Like,
I don't know.
Because I use the projections are a main factor in who I start.
Yeah, they.
I'm not gonna lie.
My buddy back home who beat me this last week had a great quote. I guess I should say, which is projections don't mean blank.
Wow. Don't.
Which they don't. That's so true. Because you can't tell the future.
Exactly.
You never know what's going to happen. And it's so true. But the way the projections work at this site is they think what they're going to get. And then that's the projection. So they think Allen Robinson's going to go for 91 yards and a touchdown.
That's not happening.
Which is 15.1 points.
It's not happening.
That's not happening?
No.
You're right. It's going to be 92 yards and 7 touchdowns.
He plays in Jacksonville, and...
And he Blake Bortles Blake is going to turn around.
Blake Bortles, because if Blake Bortles wasn't the QB in Jacksonville, I would definitely be starting Julius Thomas every week at tight end.
This is a fact. If Allen Robinson doesn't score a touchdown, Allen Hurns will.
Yeah, that's what killed me last week.
Yeah, the Don.
The Don had Allen Hurns, and he went for 16 points. I was like,
I need
what?
That this week. I need the Jacksonville to beat you 2 weeks in a row. That's what's going to happen. Blake Bortles is going to beat you 2 weeks in a row.
I'm tired.
I'm losing.
I'm tired of losing. And it's losing because of people that I don't think, like, just have, like, big games. Like, the Chiefs defense that one game had, like, 30 points against me.
Nobody is more unlucky than Greg's team. This man has the most. He has the most points against. People really just go off against him. He has 123 points against. And you're actually in second place with 119. But still, that's 4 more points a game.
My defense is getting a little bit better.
You can't control that, though. And that's fantasy.
That's what I'm saying. I just had so much unlucky things. But, you know, it's going to be a good game.
Let's check your luck.
I'm debating on whether or not to start Derek Carr or Cam Newton.
Your luck this last week was negative 89.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I've had the most unluckiest, like, stretch of games.
That is really unlucky.
So I'm debating on whether or not to start Cam Newton against the Rams, who allowed the 10th most passing yards.
Mm-hmm.
And the 17th most passing touchdowns.
Well, that's tough for both of these.
Yeah. Or do I start Derek Carr against Denver, who's in top 5 in passing yards, passing to
top 3 in all 3.
So, like, I might have to start Cam, but then again, I start Cam and this man does not perform. He doesn't, like, get a touchdown. Like, Russell Wilson. I have Russell Wilson in my ESPN league. And he hasn't thrown a touchdown, I think, in like 2 or 3 games.
That's just unlucky.
Right?
But, I mean, Cam Newton also, on the other half, is Cam Newton. He's Superman. Mm. He's Clark Kent.
No, not this year. Maybe last year. This year.
His rookie year. And
this year, really Kryptonite is winning the battle.
Wow. Well, we will see you guys next Tuesday to tell you the outcome.
I'm winning.
Of this matchup.
I'm winning. I'm letting you guys know I'm winning. Do you want to make a bet of some sort?
I don't know if that's legal on air right now. What do you have in mind? I'll entertain this thought.
We'll talk off the air.
Yeah, we'll talk off the air. But thank you guys so much for tuning in. There's no way we're going to make a bet. This is Penguin Radio, where we keep it clean all the time. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. DJ Radical. DJ Smooth.
Yes.
Polar opposites have just collided for an hour here on this radio station. I hope you guys tune in next week. Have a good one.
Call a cab, crash on a buddy's couch. Just don't hit the roads drunk. This message was